Chapter 21 "I hope you don't mind me coming," said Anna, "but I had to talk to you."
"No, I'm glad you did. Truly, I'm glad," Garrick assured her earnestly.
"It's so good to see you again, Anna. It feels like forever since we left."
"I know, and so much has happened. My pa and yours, and Sean."
She stopped.
"Oh, Gary, I just can't believe it yet. They told me and told me, but I can't believe it. He was so alive."
"Yes," said Garrick, "he was so alive.
He talked about dying the night before he left. I hadn't even thought about it until then."
Anna shook her head in disbelief.
"And I never dreamed it could happen to him. Oh, Gary, what am I going to do?"
Garrick turned and looked at Anna, the Anna he loved, Sean's Anna. But Sean was dead. He felt an idea move within him, not yet formed in words, but real enough to cause a sick spasm of conscience. He shied away from it.
"Oh, Gary, what can I do?"
She was asking for help. The appeal was apparent in her voice. Her father killed at Issandlwana, her elder brothers still with Chelmsford at Tugela, her mother and the three small children to feed. How blind of him not to see it!
"Anna, can I help you? Just tell me." "No, Gary, I don't think anyone can.
If it's money..." He hesitated discreetly. "I'm a rich man now. Pa left the whole of the Eunice Corral to Sean and I, and Sean isn't..." She looked at him without answering.
"I can lend you some to tide you over," blushed Garrick. "As much as you need."
She went on staring at him while her mind adjusted itself. Garrick, master of the Eunice Corral. He was rich, twice as rich as Sean would have been. And Sean was dead.
"Please, Anna, let me help you. I want to, really I do."
He loved her. It was pathetically obvious. And Sean was dead.
"You will let me, Anna?"
She thought of hunger and bare feet, dresses washed until you could see through them when you held them to the light, petticoats patched and cobbled, and always the fear, the uncertainty you must live with when you're poor. Gary was rich and alive. Sean was dead.
"Please, tell me you will."
Garrick leaned forward and took her arm. He gripped it fiercely in his agitation, and she looked into his face. You could see the resemblance, she thought, but Sean had strength, where here there was softness and uncertainty. The colour was wrong also, pale sand and paler blue, instead of brutal black and indigo. It was as though an artist had taken a portrait and with a few subtle strokes had altered its meaning completely, so as to make it into an entirely different picture. She did not want to think about his leg.
"It's sweet of you, Gary," she said, "but we got a little in the bank, and the plot is free of debt. We got the horses. We can sell them if we have to."
"What is it, then?
Please tell me."
She knew then what she was going to do. She couldn't lie to him. It was too late for that. She would have to tell him, but she knew that the truth would not make any difference to him. Well, perhaps a little, but not enough to prevent her getting what she wanted. She wanted to be rich, and she wanted a father for the child she carried within her.
Gary, I'm going to have a baby.
Garrick's chin jerked up, and his breathing jammed, and then started again.
A baby? Yes, Garrick. I'm pregnant.
Whose? Sean's?
Yes, Gary. I'm going to have Sean's baby.
How do you know? Are you sure?
I'm sure.
Garrick pulled himself out of his chair and limped across the veranda. He stopped against the railing and gripped it with his good hand. The other was still in the sling. His back was turned to Anna, and he stared out across the lawns of the Hunas Corral to the lightly forested slope beyond. Sean's baby. The idea bewildered him. He knew that Sean and Anna did that together. Sean had told him, and Garrick had not resented it. He was jealous, but only a little, for Sean had let him share in it by telling him, and so some of it had belonged to him also. But a baby? Sean's baby? Slowly the full implication came to him. Sean's baby would be a living part of his brother, the part that had not been cut down by the Zulu blades. He had not completely lost Sean. Anna, she must have a father for her child. It was unthinkable that she could go another month without marrying. He could have both of them, everything he loved in one package, Sean and Anna. She must marry him. She had no other choice. Triumph surged up within him, and he turned to her. "What will you do, Anna?" He felt sure of her now. "Sean's dead. What will you do?"
"I don't know."
"You can't have the baby. It would be a bastard." He saw her wince at the word. He felt very certain of her.
"I'll have to go away, to Port Natal."
She spoke without expression in her voice, looking calmly at him, knowing what he would say.
"I'll leave soon," she said. "It'll be all right. I'll find some way out."
Garrick watched her face as she spoke. Her head was small, on shoulders wide for a girl. Her chin was pointed. Her teeth were slightly crooked, but white. She was very pretty, despite the cat-like set of her eyes. "I love you, Anna," he said. "You know that, don't you?" She nodded slowly, and her hair moved darkly on her shoulders. The cat eyes softened contentedly.
"Yes, I know, Gary. Will you marry me?"
He said it breathlessly.
"You don't mind? You don't mind about Sean's baby?" she said, knowing he didn't. "I love you, Anna."
He came towards her clumsily, and she looked up at his face. She didn't want to think about the leg.
"I love you. Nothing else matters."
He reached for her, and she let him hold her.
"Will you marry me, Anna?"
He was trembling.
"Yes."
Her hands were quiescent on his shoulders. He sobbed softly, and her expression changed to one of distaste. She made the beginnings of a movement to push him away, but stopped herself.
"My darling, you won't regret it."
"I swear you won't," he whispered.
"We must do it quickly, Gary."
"Yes, I'll go into town this afternoon and speak to Padre."
"No, not here in Ladyburg,"
Anna cut in sharply.
"People will have too much to say. I couldn't stand it."
"We'll go up to Peter Marriottsburg," Garrick acquiesced.
When, Gary?
As soon as you like.
Tomorrow, she said. We'll go tomorrow.